Welcome to This Day in Pottery History, a series of brief observations, meditations, vignettes, and editorials about the backroads and byways of pottery history that helped shape the pottery world as we know it today, here on this very day in pottery history. I'm your host, Stephen Earp. For images and reading lists associated with these narratives, visit StephenEarp.com/podcasts. And now, let's get going. Episode 56, For the Sake of Distant Days, An Ode to Sheshkala. Mesopotamia, 5000 to 3000 BCE, saw imagery impressed on clay stamp seals evolve into cuneiform writing on clay tablets. Alkaline glazes allowed brilliantly decorated bricks to adorn palaces and city walls. One historian even suggests, maybe it's a stretch, the idea for the wheel came from observing how the potter's wheel spun perfectly round pots. Somebody needed to know how to work with clay to make all those pots, bricks, and tablets. This put potters among the scientific cutting-edge innovators of the time. Amazingly, the identity of one of those ancient potters survives. Sheshkala, son of Sharahar. A circa 2040 BCE tablet from Uruk lists him on the jury of a murder cover-up trial. Everyone was found guilty and executed. Back to those tablets made by potters like Sheshkala. Around 650 BCE, the Assyrian king Ashurbanipal compiled all knowledge available to him at the time into a huge clay tablet library at Nineveh, his capital. He may even have written some of it himself. One tablet describes Ashurbanipal's rather enlightened aspirations. For the sake of distant days. Assyria eventually went the crash-and-burn way of every empire back then. A century or so later, Persian armies had their moment of rampage across the Fertile Crescent. Their king, Cyrus the Great, chose to protect and preserve this library rather than do the usual carnage thing. Persia's eventual collapse left Ashurbanipal's tablets buried in the ruins of Nineveh. In 1848, Austin Henry Lanyard gave his Iraqi assistant, Harmuzd Rassam, full credit, amazingly enough for a Victorian-era archaeologist, for rediscovering this treasure. The two beheld Ashurbanipal's ancient handwriting and read the king's thoughts directly. They then ensconced the library in a museum for future scholarly study. Now, I don't know about you, but given the immense span of time here, everything about this story amazes me. You could almost say Ashurbanipal's lofty ambition succeeded. And now, the downfall of Saddam Hussein and the occupation of Baghdad. Operation Desert Storm commanders thoughtfully surrounded the Ministry of Oil with tanks to protect its priceless contents from looters. I mean, after all. But they left the museum and its priceless contents to its fate. A bunch of jerks threw Sheshkala's progeny, all those 3,000-year-old unfired clay tablets of Ashurbanipal's library for the sake of distant days, into the backs of a few pickup trucks. Given the tablets' extremely fragile state, they probably turned to dust after a few bumpy city blocks. They are now gone forever. And so ends this year-long journey across the back roads of pottery history. I hope you enjoyed the trip. You know, I always thought it would be fun to end with something like, well, that's pretty much it. Nothing else really happened in pottery history. But of course, it'll never end. So, will I make further journeys down this path? Who knows? If you're so motivated, drop me a line at steve@stephenerp.com and let me know what you think. And in the meantime, remember that eternally bittersweet saying applied to an early 19th century Staffordshire mug. Come drink a pot with me, kind friend, and tell me when the times will mend.